And through you. And last time it was really exciting, so we're really thrilled to have you back with us this morning. So thank you. I'll go and get your slides up for you. I'll just pray for you, if that's all right. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning, and thank you for your presence in Richard and all that you're doing in his life, through the family. And I pray that as he speaks this morning, we would just see more of how you are outworking your purposes through him. Would he bring words which have just a sharpness that has really cut us to the quick this morning, as we know he's bringing a message from you. So as he shares, Lord, we would just know your power, your presence, and all that you have for us today in its fullness, Jesus. Amen.
Started already. Goodness, the water works. The water works. Thank you for that prayer. I'll leave the hanky there. I think I might need it. It's good to be back. It's 2 years, I think. So when I checked my notes from the previous time that I was here. But yeah, it's great to be back. And yeah, God is just so good. When I was here 2 years ago, probably none of you remember it. I mean, goodness, if you asked me what was preached last Sunday at our church, I'd have no idea. So, but, you know, God was starting to bring me into some new things. So that was 2 years ago. So a year before that, 3 years ago. And you think, wow, this is incredible. But now I've moved on 2 years, you think, it's even more fantastic, you know, who our God is, what he's doing. And yet I still feel I'm only just at the beginning now, you know. There's just a hunger and excitement that's building and growing about, who God is and who I am in him. So what I want to share this morning is very much along the lines of what the worship was this morning, and you know that I am a child of God and you are children of God. But before that, there we go, because you support Harpen and Money Advice, I thought I'd give you just a quick update of what's happening there. And we had our 10th anniversary beginning of the year, so we've been going 10 years, and so I thought I'll just quickly run through some of these slides here. So had 15 different advisors and one administrator from six different churches involved, so it's very much an interchurch ministry. We've had 377 cases. We've just gone over the 400 cases now since just last week. You can see the appointments, the adults we've helped. £4.5 million worth of debts we've been dealing with, which is just a phenomenal amount. Clients are signposted to us because other organisations like what we do, and they say, you go and see Richard and his team. So, next slide, please. So, the cost per case, £129. Not bad going. Considering over the 10 years, we've still got some clients. We've got about three or four clients from year one that we're still helping. So we're seeing people on, you know, multiple times. So we think it's good value for money. Thank you very much for supporting us as a church. We really appreciate that. If we go on to the next one. So we do the whole raft of debt options. IVAs we can't do, so we have to refer those. You have to be an insolvency practitioner. But we see people, you know, all sorts of people, single mothers to company directors who are having difficult times and everyone in between. And one of those things would be generally help them move forward. So, that's what we do. On Tuesday, I'm actually going to court with a client who's likely to lose his home. Pray for that, because he's going to be homeless. He's been homeless before. got mental health issues, he's got alcohol issues that have never really been addressed. He's just been ignored and put up with. So there's, yeah, pray for us on Tuesday at this court case, because without God, he's going to lose his house. He's going to be homeless. And he'll be back living in a tent in St. Albans somewhere. And he's a child of God. He's a child of God. Who God... almost running into my sermon already. But he's, you know, he's valuable. God gave everything so that we might come to him. We've got to do everything we can. Lay our lives for those who need help. Because that's what God has done for us. There are no limits. It's not a case of, well, he's meant to do this, he's meant to look after himself, he's meant to... No, Jesus says, you love them completely with everything you've got. Because that's how his love does. So, that's my day on Tuesday. Some words, just keep going through, don't worry about that. These are just nice words people have said, you know, what they were felt afterwards and what they were before and what they think of HMAC, all good stuff. And then a photo. So there you go. There's your Trevor in the photo. So just to give you a flavour of the 10 years. No questions. that was for the anniversary. So, yeah, that was it. Just like to read one. I did email around people before the anniversary and just to write up some testimonies for us. And so I'll just read one out. It says, the support and intervention I got from HMAC saved me from total despair. When I can no longer repay my loans due to change in working circumstances and knew of no other alternatives, the banks referred my case to external debt collectors. This led to much anguish, worry and feelings of failure. I can no longer manage my finances. My outgoings were more than my income, and I found myself relying on family to keep me afloat. This all changed when I found HMAC. Richard and his amazing staff were so understanding and sympathetic to my situation. They took over communication with the debt collectors and arranged a management repayment plan after they helped me calculate my expenses. I am now debt-free after seven long years of trying to repay what I owed. Without the help of HMAC, I doubt I could have got through that time without having a breakdown. Words cannot express how thankful I am to HMAC. The work they do is life-changing. That's what we're about. People come to us for financial advice. They get a whole lot more. God comes into so many of their situations. I just love it when... We offer to pray with people at the end. People have never been prayed for before. I felt something. Or you see the tears start forming in their eyes. Or I pray for them for healing. And we've had a number healed. One guy had torn his Achilles tendon and had to give up work because of that. He worked in a warehouse. And we prayed for him, completely healed. You know, God is just revealing his love to so many of our clients, that they never thought that they would experience something like that. So many clients have been touched, but we, looking at the time there, we won't go into too many stories. God has just been continuing to stir things within me. As I said, from the 2 years ago when I was last here, last year I went on a ministry trip to Kenya, which was unexpected but really exciting. So it's great, you know, go out to other countries, go out and see, get out of your comfort zone where you have to completely trust God, see him come through. I was invited with someone else from Bethany Church that I go to lead a pastor's conference, 200 pastors there. I've never done anything like that before. And Oh, just fantastic. Getting response from people, you know. So maybe I want a bit of response from you, a few hallelujahs and, you know, preach it, brother. Yeah, it's the one. That's what we like. There was a lady there. The husband was at the pastor's conference. She couldn't be because she'd been bedridden for 3 weeks. Incredible pain. So John and myself, we went out to the village, into the mud hut, prayed for her. And she was dancing. You know, the power of God just came on her. So she ended up dancing. Because we went to another house in the village. When we got back, the person who was driving us around had got worship music on in the car. And she was dancing, you know, just listening to it. And you just think, God, you're so good. And so we saw so much happen through that. Had a holiday in Brazil last year, as my wife is Brazilian, as many of you know. So we were there 3 weeks holiday. I ended up speaking 5 times. But it was life, you know. God just turned up. You know, I think 12, 13 salvations, as I spoke in different places, and just multiple healings. Because that's our God. That's our God that we've been singing about. His love for us is so intense. You know, we're talking about no mountain is too high or whatever it is the words are. That's the truth. And what I want to share this morning, it's not news to you. It's not, you know, it's nothing new under the sun really, is there? But I just want to encourage you again to press in to all that God has got for you. Because there's more. There's more. No matter where you are right now, there's more. There's more to experience of God and know of God. The verse that came to me was John 10, verse 10, which is very familiar. I came that they might have life and may have it abundantly. That's in the New American or in the NIV. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I heard someone speak on this verse recently, and he said that the thought behind the verse is that we would have ridiculously more life and blessing than anyone else around us. That's the sort of the, you know, the oomph behind this verse, that we'd have ridiculously more life and blessing than anyone else. That's the fullness of life that God wants for us. That's what he wants for us. And you know, that's the abundance that he wants. He's just got so much more for us. I mean, it's just so easy to get caught up in life, the busyness of life. And you know, God can almost just become that add-on, that tag-on in the end. And we just ask God, would you just bless this, what I'm doing? So easy for us to settle for less. And we can look around others and it's easy to think, well, I'm not doing so badly compared with others. You know, maybe this is just what the normal Christian life is. You know, we just trundle on, have our nice meetings. Every now and again, maybe something happens. You know, so that's normal. And we settle for that. I'm not happy for that anymore. I'm not happy for that sort of normality. When we think, you know, that God gave everything for us so we could experience him, we could know him in his fullness, you just think, God, give me that hunger. Give me that hunger. Give me that desire to know you in that way. I think probably the last few months I've been, you know, it's just one of these things that we know, but so often we need to be refreshed of it and just be reminded the fact that, yeah, God gave everything that I could be restored to intimacy with him. That's the purpose Jesus died, was so that I could know intimacy with the Father. To the same level that Jesus has intimacy with the Father. Now that's quite shocking. But that's God's plan for us, to have intimacy with the Father like the Son does. That's the plan and purpose for him. The Father so wanted to share his life with me that nothing was too costly for that to happen. That's your value. And, you know, we've been singing it this morning. This is the truth of it. That God so wants intimacy with us. That he said, I'm prepared to empty heaven to get that. I'm prepared to empty heaven for you to be in that place where you can experience intimacy with me. I mean, what sort of God is that? That would say, nothing is going to stop me knowing you. That's your worth. That's your value. That we're created for intimacy with him. To hear his voice. To know his whispers to us. Because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. And we can't do anything about that. Because he is love. God is love. Unconditional, full love. 100% of the time. Jesus came that we could be a new creation, completely a new creation, that we could be joined with Jesus, we could be full of the Holy Spirit, we could be radically loved by God, radically love other people, bring in his kingdom, and basically turn this world upside down. That's the Christian life. That's what he's calling us to. That's what he has for us. Now, this isn't something, and you know, I'm not sharing this for you to think, oh, I'm not there. Might as well leave. Might as well go home. What hope is there? This isn't a word of condemnation. This is a word just to whet your appetite. For some of you, you've had this. Maybe you've lost it. Maybe you never had it. Maybe some of you are still in the flow of it. Well, great. You know, it's an encouraging word. Keep going. Keep seeking after God. It's not about us working harder, striving more for it. Because we've all been there. And we know it doesn't work. That's not what we're about here. But it says we begin to know and experience how much we're loved by the Father and know that he wants to share his heart with us. I think that was the thing that caught me. God wants to share his heart with me. God wants to share his heart with you. So we know what's on his heart. We know how he feels in situations. You know, the Almighty God wants to share his heart with us. Wants to share his mind with us. Wants to share what he's wanting to do, what he is doing with us. Mind-blowing. But that's what he invites us to. David in the Psalms, in Psalm 27:4, says, one thing have I asked from the Lord, and that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate on his temple. This is all about living in the presence of God. And that's what God has for us. For to be daily walking in his presence and living out of our identity as sons and daughters of the living God. You might be sitting there and thinking, well, that sounds all really good. All fantastic, but you don't know my background. You don't know the daily challenges I face. True, I don't. But I do know the sacrifice that God has made for you, so that everything that separated you from God has been nailed to the cross. Everything that would stand in the way of you knowing that level of intimacy with the Father has been nailed to the cross, has been dealt with at the cross. You are a new creation. You are the righteousness of God. You're a favoured son or daughter of God, and nothing can separate you from his love. As Graham Cook says, we're a breed of people like the world has never seen. We are a breed of people like the world has never seen. We are children of the living God now. The cross changed everything. The cross has changed everything, that we can be who he's, as we're singing, we are who he says we are. But so often we're not living out of the reality of that. And for myself, it's been a journey of coming to that place where actually starting to believe that I am who he says I am. And one of the things that is what I wanted to bring this morning, that I've started to realize that has been impacting on my life. And that is that I've been living with an orphan spirit. I've been living as though I'm an orphan. I didn't really believe that I was his beloved child, that I was his son. I've been living as though that wasn't the case. As I go through just some of the examples and reasons how the ways it's affected me, I just want you to be open to God. Am I living under something like that? You might never even considered it before. But I think it's so prevalent in the Christian world. And one of the reasons is, because if the enemy can get us to live under that, he's got us. There is no intimacy. Because, as we'll see, it's all about striving. It's all about trying to get there. When the Father says you're there, you don't have to strive. You don't have to try. And so, for me, one of the things that as I look back over my life, I felt that everything was down to me. If anything was going to happen, it was because I've done it. Okay, it's all down to me, my hard work, my effort, that, it's my striving, my sacrifice. So if I was going to get to know God better, it's because I was doing things. I was taking the initiative. It's all down to me. It's so somehow I had to find God's favour. I had to get to that place where I would, that God would suddenly notice me because of all of my hard work, all my praying, all my fasting, all my whatever, and that maybe God would notice me then. And so then God would come and do something nice in my life. And so it was hard work. It was exhausting. It was frustrating because I never felt good enough. I never felt as though I'd done enough. And so there's this continual on the treadmill, I've got to do more, I've got to do more. What is it going to take to God to notice me? What is it going to take for God to work in my life? And that's very much an orphan spirit, not knowing that I am his child. I don't need to do all of that striving. I don't need to do all of that hard work to get his attention, to get his blessing. Because I'm his child. I am loved completely, fully, favoured and blessed by him. So when we come into that place of knowing sonship, and when I say sonship, I include daughters as well. It's the inheritance of God. When we come into that place of sonship, there's rest. So intimacy can then flow. It's when we stop trying and we say, God, I realise that I'm your son. I'm that inheritor. Philippians 2:20 is a verse that has spoken to me a lot, Because for an interesting, the verse before it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you can stop there. So you think, this is hard work. I've got to work it all out. I've got to sort, you know, it's me taking the initiative. It's me doing stuff. But actually, there's a, the second or the verse following says, for it is God who is at work within us, in you, to will and act according to his good purpose. And actually, that first verse, apparently the picture behind it is, let your salvation be worked out with fear and trembling. It's like, let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. God's doing it. So let it bubble up. That's our responsibility, because it's God who's at work within us. And that makes so much more sense to realize that actually God takes the initiative in my life. And so, but if you're an orphan, you think, I've got to do it all. I've got to do it. So we just get on this treadmill of trying to do it. And now some of these things you think, Richard, my goodness, this is shocking. I found it hard to celebrate other people's successes. Their successes, breakthroughs or blessings. You think, God, that's unfair. That should be me. You know, I've been working hard. How is it they've been blessed? How is it they've been, seen some breakthroughs in their lives? God, I deserve it more than them, you know. I found it hard to celebrate success because it was all about performance for me. And also it betrayed my thought that God has limited resources, limited blessing. And so it's though, well, I had to fight for my share, you know. I've got to elbow my way through to the front to try and get it. That thought that, yeah, God's got limited resources and blessings, but to realise that he doesn't, that he has enough for everyone. And also along with that, I thought, well, if they succeed and, you know, see breakthroughs, God uses them in incredible ways, well, that makes me look inferior. What does that make me look like? Oh, well, Richard, you know, you're not doing much, are you? You know, where's God in your life? If others are experiencing more and more of God. But again, starting to know my identity as a son. You know, I'm starting to celebrate people's successes. I'm starting to pray for people to be successful. I'm praying that people have breakthroughs. They'll have experiences and encounters with God. Because it's all about kingdom. Because I know who I am now. I know that I am loved. I know that God is working in my life. I know that God has plans and purposes for me. It might look different to other people, but that doesn't matter. You know, it's about celebrating and really wanting to see breakthrough in people's lives. Really celebrating it. Saying, God, I want to see people on fire for you. I want to see other people lay hands on people and those people be healed. I want that to happen more than it's happening through me. You know, I'm wanting to see your kingdom break out. But if we've got an orphan spirit, well, we won't be in that position. We think, well, God, what about me? What about little me? You've got to do something in my life and use me. But when we know we're a son, it suddenly opens up a whole new world for us. Another thing I would do, I would judge people by my own standards. And if they fell short, I think that, well, you don't deserve God's blessings. But coming to know more of the grace of God and the reality that God uses each of us before we're perfect. That's the reality. There was a situation a number of years ago where I felt really hurt and let down by some people. And, you know, for the longest time, I've been holding something against them. And it's very much coloured my view of them, what they're doing, and almost just thinking, well, God, you can't bless them because they did this. You can't use them because they did this to me. And it's so easy to judge people according to that. And looking back, I can see that what I'm saying to myself is, they're broken, so God can't use them. God shouldn't use them. What am I saying about myself? Well, I'm broken, so God can't use me. That's what it really comes back to. That, you know, I can't be used by God because I'm broken. But again, there's been breakthrough there for me. So it's thinking, you know what? Yes, I am broken, but God's going to use me. In Christ, I'm perfect. He's working out some things in my position in Christ. He's working out on my flesh. But I'm perfect in him. So he's going to use me. And so then that means I don't have to judge other people now. I leave that up to God. Say, God, yeah, I see flaws in others. You know what? I've got flaws myself. I'm going to pray blessing on them. I want to see God's kingdom come through their lives. And so it's very much more of a kingdom concept rather than me having to fight my own little corner and try and somehow find significance and status for myself, which is what an orphan has to do. Has to fight for himself. Has to promote himself. Has to prove to the world around that he has value and that he's someone. But when we come into that place of sonship, we realize, I don't have to do that. I've got a promoter. I've got someone who promotes me, someone who's working in my life. So yeah, instead of judging others, I can pray blessing on them for the sake of his kingdom. Another thing I noticed was that having an orphan spirit often means we put people on a pedestal. You know, whether it's the Bible characters, our heroes from the Bible. You know, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Elijah, Peter, Paul, or whoever your heroes are from the Bible. Or modern heroes, Reinhard Bonnke, Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker, Graham Cook, you know, whoever, you can add to the list of that, whoever's yours are. You might not have heard of any of those. Don't worry if you haven't. But whoever your heroes are, we can put them on a pedestal. And we look at them and think, God could never use me in that way. You could never use me. Why should I even try? I'm just little old me. God, yes, you're using them incredibly, but, you know, they're up there. They're up there. But I want to say to you, as I've been learning, you know, we've got the same salvation. We've got the same Saviour as all of those people. We've got the same Holy Spirit. We've got the same sonship. We're invited to the same level of intimacy with the Father that they had experienced or are experiencing. We've got the same access to the Father. Now, okay, our ministries that got the stuff that God's got for us might look very different to what they're doing, but the stories that we can tell, the experiences, the encounters we can have are the same, can be on the same level. If we're an orphan, we'll put others above and say, well, I could never be that because I'm me. But the reality is, yeah, so orphaness will say, I'm not good enough. I don't have the right qualifications. Sonship says, why not me? Why not me? Not in an arrogant way, but just because of all that God has done for us. Why not me? God, why not me? Use me in some way to change the world. To have a radical impact in the world that I live in. An orphan spirit says that there's no one to protect them, provide for them, comfort or encourage them, lead or love them. They feel that no one believes in them, so they need to do whatever it takes to prove their value, worth and status. But the good news is that we have a Father who protects, provides, comforts, encourages, leads, loves, and believes in us. So I'm on this journey of discovering, of moving away from that orphanness. Because probably the reality is all of us have it to some extent or another, whether you realise it or not. I'm on a journey moving away from that. So coming in to the fullness of what God has for me. And I believe that, you know, this is what God was just wanting to speak to you this morning about. That there's more. You're not an orphan. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You have the same access to the Father that Jesus has. That same level of intimacy can be yours. And that's what his calling is to. But it's only as we hunger for that that we're willing to leave the orphanness. Whereas we start to see that there is more. As we start to experience more of the Father's love, the Father's drawing us to himself, that we're prepared to leave that orphanness. Because in one respect, orphanness is safe. It might sound funny, but it can be safe. You know where you're at because it's just all down to you. It's dependent on you. But there's an invite to come into sonship. God's invite to us this morning is sonship. Might be a scary place, but it's the safest place that God could bring you into. And I just sense God calling us to that. Calling us to that place of sonship. It's not a quick fix. It's not one prayer and, wow, suddenly you're a child of God and you're walking in the fullness of it. It's a journey that we're on. But God's inviting us to it. And should we bring that table up the front? Maybe if two people could bring the table at the front. Eloisa woke up this morning and said, I think I've meant to finish off, you know, there's something that's for you, for your sermon. And so we've just bought a few things. It's just a symbolic thing of we are sons and daughters. We have access to all of the wealth of heaven. So we've just got a few nice things here so you can have with your coffee. But what I would say is the Father invites you. It's all yours. It's all yours. You're a son. You're a daughter of the living God. All that he has, all that is accomplished, it's for you. And he's saying, come, feast. Come, feast. You know, an orphan is probably, you know, if they go into someone's house, if they're invited to a friend's house, you know, they're not part of the family, they'd be hesitant to go to the fridge and just raid it and help themselves and take whatever. But the son, the daughter who's there, no qualms. They just go in, open that fridge door. Wow, that's all for me. Bet your kids do that. It's all yours. And so the simple message this morning is, it's all yours. Partake. Partake. Let me just pray. Well, if any of you sense that God has been stirring something, that there is some, you know, orphanness within you still, that just like you just to express that to God in the quiet, as I'm praying, just say, God, I recognize I'm an orphan. Lead me into sonship. So, Father, we thank you for all that you've accomplished. Thank you that you held back nothing. That you emptied heaven to win our hearts. Father, we want to be your sons and daughters. We want to live in that fullness of life. God, would you move us from orphanness to know that sonship? Father, thank you that you love us so much. You're not prepared for us to stay where we are. Lord God, I thank you that you are gentle. You are kind. God, would you move us on? Would you stir our hearts for the more? Would you stir our hearts to know that intimacy with you, to hear your voice? Would you stir our hearts? Oh God, would you come? Where there's apathy, where there's been disappointment, I pray, would you come and wash that away? Would you come and refresh us? Would you stir us, Lord? Stir us. God, we want to be changed. We want to be those that are so in love with you. We want to be those that can't contain what you've done, your incredible love for us. Lord God, we want to leak your love everywhere we go. We want to boast of you, the most fantastic, incredible God who's so for us. Father, come. Come and just do a new thing within us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.